This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is a weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. In this interview, Associate Professor and Interim Chair of Biological Sciences, Dr. Travis Marsico, and Environmental Sciences Program PhD candidate Diana Sotteropoulos talk about collections of diverse plants in a small area in Monroe County as part of conservation research. Dr. Marsico, who is also the curator of the Star Herbarium, tells about the research.
We're embarking on some exciting conservation research focused on plant biodiversity in the Mississippi Alluvial Plain region of Arkansas. And this is something that both Diana and I are passionate about because this region is so highly underexplored. It's, as you know, really been heavily converted to row crop agriculture. It's a breadbasket region of the United States, and that has left very little space for natural ecosystems. And so one of the things that we work on is to better understand the species diversity in those remaining habitat patches so that we can make appropriate conservation recommendations for long-term preservation of the native species that grow in these sites and these habitats.
And where about in Arkansas is this research by way of these specific species that you're talking about?
Well, I think Diana's going to be able to speak specifically to some of her research questions. So She has some research questions that she's addressing across the Delta region and field research site specifically at Pine City Natural Area in Monroe County.
Okay. Diana, welcome to Created State podcast. Appreciate you so much. So kind of tell us, first of all, how did you get interested in this particular area of research that you're working on your dissertation on, please?
Well, I have been a field researcher as a botanist for 4 years and saw an amazing posting about the research opportunities available through Dr. Marsico's lab. And I was really interested in the range of topics and flexibility of just general ecology that could still be studied in Arkansas and the number of undescribed species that are still being found within the state. And that's really hard to find in the United States because it's been studied botanically for so long. So it was a really open question about just studying plants in the Delta or Mississippi Alluvial Plain ecoregion. And we started there.
Right. And so kind of tell us a little bit about what you've been able to find in your research so far, please.
Just in the past year, during my first year as a graduate student here in 2018, I had 28 site visits to the Pine City Natural Area, about 30 minutes south of Brinkley, and I collected just over 1,000 plants. And in my collections, I have identified over 800 so far, and found 157 county records. So county record is the first documentation of a plant species within the county. So it's really remarkable having 157 in this small area. It's only 1,100 acres. So it's less than 1% of the total county area. So it just shows how many plant species there are to document in the Mississippi Alluvial Plain.
And as she's been working on this, kind of your thoughts on her discovery so far?
Yeah, so this is really remarkable because one of the core research questions that we answer in my research laboratory is this intersection between the level of an area of the level of exploration in a particular region and the actual true measures of species richness and biodiversity in that region. So the Mississippi Alluvial Plain is the least species rich, meaning has the fewest known documented plant species in the state. And it's not really clear if that's because fewer species actually grow in the Delta region or if it just hasn't really been explored before. And so I have a few graduate students working on similar projects in different parts of the Delta, but Diana's work has shown so convincingly and so early on in her research that just by looking in a systematic way, she's been visiting the research site almost every single week and being able to make those visits throughout the entire growing season and making the plant specimen collections and bringing them back for identification has really really shown us that part of the issue is these areas have not been explored. And it's also, again, like she said, stunning that she can have such a fraction. It's around a quarter of 1% of the county region that she's exploring, and yet she's pulling out something like 20% new species.
Close to 30% of species that were not previously documented.
So it makes you think, if it's just in that 1,100-acre area, what else is out there?
Exactly. So that's one of these things that, again, get at this intersection, because she is working in an area that's already protected by the Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission as a site that is known to have a unique ecosystem and special plant species growing there. So it's interesting to think about, does she happen to be working in the single best preserved habitat in the entirety of Monroe County? That's possible. And therefore, that would lean us more toward thinking this area truly is just underexplored, and that it's also species rich there. Or is it that Monroe County as a county is so underexplored that we haven't even touched into these other habitats? That's outside the scope of her current research question, but it is interesting that we know at least part of the answer is we need more research in these regions to understand even what plants grow there, which is kind of, you think in the 21st century, we would have that baseline knowledge already.
Right. Dr. Travis Marsico joining us also. Diana Sideropoulos joining us here on the Created State podcast. So with this, since you know there's a lot, you said you have some other graduate students that are working. How's everyone kind of working together? And I guess what would be the larger base of the project?
Sure. I have another student in the same scholarship program that Diana is in, Dylan Derwin, and he's working in Mississippi and Crittenden counties in northeastern Arkansas, conducting countywide plant surveys with a particular emphasis in Wapanaka National Wildlife Refuge and Big Lake National Wildlife Refuge. And then another master's student, Jennifer Reed, who is doing a county floristic inventory and assessing collection bias in Poinsett County, which has both the Mississippi Alluvial Plain or Delta region and also Crowley's Ridge. And so those three students working in this region on baseline plant survey information to get a better understanding of what species grow in this region and also the level of habitat specificity that some of them may have is something that we're figuring out as a lab.
So Diana, if you don't mind, kind of tell us a little bit about the collection, if you will. You know, when you talk about the collection process, you've been down there, you've been able to take a look at this and collect and then bring it back. And can you tell us about how that process works, if you don't mind, please?
Sure. Collection days are typically long days in very mosquito-ridden areas and very hot, sometimes rainy. And that's just part of working in the Delta region. But what we do is we drive down as early as possible in the day. It's about a two-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the habitats there divided up into different regions. So we can visit each part of the property at least once within a month. So we drive down, we have our set areas that we want to visit during that day, and we just look for plants that we haven't documented before. So we walk haphazardly through the site just to try to find as many plants as possible. But then we also do targeted collections for areas that we know have more plants and things that we've seen in previous visits that weren't in flower yet so that we can collect them later. So it's really important to have plants that are in flower or fruit so that we can reliably identify them. And when we get to a plant, we take pictures of it. So all of the field images will actually be uploaded to iNaturalist, which is a citizen science community platform, mm-hmm. just for observing biodiversity. And Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission is also going to have iNaturalist projects for each of their natural areas. So we'll be contributing all the ones for Pine City Natural Area. And after field photos, we take a documentation of which habitat type we're in. Are they flatwoods, areas with trees, or is it saline barrens, an open grassland ecosystem? And which other species are occurring with it? So what is dominant there? What plants grow together? And then we dig up the plant, roots and all, because sometimes the roots have very important features for identification. Bag them up and continue walking. So we usually cover about 8 to 12 miles in a day and collect somewhere between 40 and 100 plants in one event. Then we bring them home and clean off the roots and put them in a plant press. So we turn three-dimensional plants into a flat surface, two-dimensional shape for long-term preservation.
And tell us, Dr. Masico, about this collection that you have, the Arkansas Center for Biodiversity Collector. I think that's what you said. Kind of tell us a bit about that, because I know this is an important part of that, and how this is helping, in Arkansas State University's research in this area, please.
Sure. Well, natural history collections are a critical component of understanding biodiversity. They are used, natural history collections in general, have been used taxonomically for organizing species nomenclature, naming the species, and figuring out how they're related to each other. They're used in evolutionary research, ecological research, and increasingly with issues like species invasions and climate change, we can use the historical record from natural history collections to understand how organisms are responding to these things. So at Arkansas State, we have the Arkansas Center for Biodiversity Collections, which we use the acronym ACBC, and this is a group of natural history collections in the Department of Biological Sciences that includes the herbarium, which is the plant collection that I mentioned already, but we also have a collection of fishes, mussels, aquatic macroinvertebrates, insects, reptiles and amphibians, and birds and mammals as well. So we have a lot of different organisms that have been collected largely over the last 50 or 60 years from former and current faculty members and graduate students here in our department. And we use that as a basis for research and in our teaching as well.
Right. And is this also something similar to, I know we were running a series about the Red Wolves for Red Wolves and how Arkansas State is involved in being able to try to help with the preservation and, of the Red Wolf. Is that also similar to that as well, by way of that kind of collection too?
Yeah, actually, in our mammal collection, we recently, I guess it would have been in 2018, were classified as by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as the national repository for all of the endangered Red Wolf specimens. And we have a partnership with the Endangered Wolf Center in St. Louis. But basically, we receive blood specimens for the sampling that they do at these breeding centers and conservation centers. And then whenever a wolf passes away, we also receive the wolf specimen from which we can create skeletal mounds or scientific pelt specimens as well. So being linked with the federal agency to be the national repository is actually a huge honor and privilege to be able to be involved in that aspect of conservation. And it also highlights, I think, the importance of our natural history collections here.
All right. It's something that a lot of people may not realize. We have this here at Arkansas State.
That's right. And our ACBC is currently in about three physical spaces. So we have in Lab Science East, we have the avian collection and the herbarium, and in Lab Science West we have the mammals and reptiles and amphibians, and then out at the ecotoxicology research facility we have the fishes, the macroinvertebrates, and the mussels out there as well. And so we don't have kind of this centralized visitor presence like the ASU Museum would have. We are trying to build in kind of like a walking tour to be more available to the public, but it really is functioning as a research collection, and mm-hmm. Actually Diana is leading us in as part of her job associated as the a collections manager of the herbarium. We're using a unified database system for all of the specimens called ArcTOS, and we're part of this ArcTOS community where we share our data so that other scientists can have access to all of not only the existence of the specimen records, but the specimen data, which includes things like the location and the time and the habitat from which the specimens were collected.
Diana, I know you've been working a lot. You already have several chapters, I guess, of your research that you've been kind of working on. Tell us a little bit about what you've been working on in some of that research so far with the chapters. If you don't mind, just kind of give me a little bit of a summary of that, if you don't mind, please.
Sure. I'm generally interested in rare plants and rare plant communities. So in the Mississippi Alluvial Plain, most native areas are actually rare communities because over 90% of the Mississippi Alluvial Plain has been converted for forestry or agriculture. So of those remaining areas, my main research area is Pine City Natural Area, and it has the only red-cockaded woodpeckers in the Mississippi Alluvial Plain, the only native loblolly pine, and the only saline barrens. So it's a really unique system. And I'm interested in documenting the plants that are present there and also how management for the red cockaded woodpecker has been impacting the plant community. So I'll be seeing how controlled burns are impacting species richness and different abiotic factors in the community. So looking at the amount of light that's reaching the forest floor, how the soils are changing and the organic matter content of the soils with controlled burns.
This research, Dr. Marsico, tell us about how it makes a large impact in the communities in Monroe County and in this area by way of how it helps those areas. You know, kind of tell us about the impact of this research that Diana and your other students are doing. It kind of is part of that larger part of the how Arkansas State makes those connections into the communities.
Sure. Well, there are kind of two ways to answer that question that I can think of off the top of my head. And one would be the scientific contributions, which would be things like being able to finally know some of the relationships between soil salinity and plant species distribution at the site level. Another thing that Diana is doing is she'll be using some of these historical records from the collections that we've been talking about to map appropriate habitats from previous records to then search for new locations where rare plants might still be found. And so these are direct contributions. And she's also doing something, what I think is really cool, is connecting baseline surveys that have been done of plant species composition in an ecological community to then provide specific recommendations for which sites based on a quantitative metric called the coefficient of conservatism, how special a species is or how habitat specific, how rare a species is, and utilizing coefficients of conservatism to make recommendations for conservation. So those are all the scientific things. But then there's also the kind of like cultural and emotional side of these places are special, and they're part of our natural heritage. I mean, we have a state agency, the Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission, that is charged with protecting the rare places and the special rare plants and other organisms. And so, you know, just going out into discovering these things can give us a sense of pride. So for the people of Monroe County, you know, they have this. It's unique globally. There is no other saline barren, which is a salty soil habitat, in the Mississippi Alluvial Plain. There is no other natural loblolly pine stands. I mean, the town Pine City got its name from the logging of these native loblolly pines. And there was a timber industry there. And so, you know, there's part of that. There's not only the natural heritage, but part of our cultural heritage can be discovered through this kind of research as well.
Fantastic. How has it been, Diana, working with Dr. Marsico on these things? And how has it kind of helped you in your learning and understanding of things in this collaboration that you have with him?
Dr. Marsico is a wonderful advisor. He always finds positive and finds the strengths and things that have been done and the progress that has been made in a project. So where I see things that still need to be done or things that are incomplete as weaknesses or areas that need more work, he always takes a step back and mentions, but all of this is already done and you have plans for this. So where I'm a realist, more so pessimist, Dr. Marsico is always an optimist. So it's a really good balance, I think, of our strengths in science, of Travis having a big picture idea and me always thinking of every little detail and methodology, that we balance each other really well for these projects and making sure that we do have forward progress and just keep in mind the really awesome things that we're doing.
And how's it working with Diana?
Yeah, and Diana makes it really easy because she's such a hard worker. So she will, you know, the fact that she mentioned in 2018, she had 1,000 plant collections and already 800 of them identified is a testament to how she, on top of it, she stays and keeps up to speed with her own research. And being able to balance her responsibilities as the collections manager in the herbarium and getting all of our natural history collections moved over into this digital Arctos as part of a job position while she's developing her thesis proposal and getting her committee organized and getting feedback from committee members and actively conducting the research, just, you know, is she's a great student. And so it makes the advising part really easy. And we have weekly meetings as a lab, but we also have weekly meetings one-on-one. So we stay connected and have regular progress reports. It's something that I think is really important in advising graduate students so that students don't kind of drift or get off track. You know, having regular communication has been important for us.
Fantastic. And the collaboration just works well for everybody in that regard, which is what this is all about, for sure. Appreciate you both coming in. Before I let you run, anything else you would like to add about this? And I'll start with you, Dr. Marsico.
Yes, I wanted to mention that Diana and one other of my students, Dylan, who I mentioned, are part of a scholarship program called SUPERB, which is Students United in Preserving, Exploring, and Researching Biodiversity. And this biodiversity scholarship that they are here partially funds their work here. And it is a really exciting project that is a collaboration between us here at Arkansas State and Southern Illinois University in Carbondale and Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky. And across these three institutions, we have about 55 students, graduate students and undergraduate students, who are working in the upper Delta region, this Mississippi alluvial plain, or in adjacent regions, on biodiversity projects of all different organism types, plants, animals. And so it's been so gratifying to be able to find this region that has been historically underexplored scientifically and being able to educate students right here in our local region across this three campus consortium and partnership.
Diana, anything else you'd like to add, please?
It has been wonderful being involved with the scholarship program and getting to network and help with the development of master's projects and undergraduate projects, students who are just getting started in research. And I've also had such a great opportunity working with Dr. Marsico and being able to network with the Aiderberia across the state. So not only are we working on getting all of Arkansas State's information online for our collections, we're also working within the Southeast regional flora of trying to get all of Arkansas's data accessible and online for researchers. And there are a lot of great ways that community members can get involved with helping us to get this data available for researchers in the community. So we have, with the Herbaria, a platform called Notes from Nature, and we have images of all of the specimens that we have collected in Arkansas, and we create these expeditions so that citizen scientists can be involved in our natural history collections and transcribing the labels. So that's actually typing up all of the data that we take with the specimen so that it is available electronically so that researchers interested in a specific area or a specific species can use that data for their research. So we are currently on our fourth expedition of the Mississippi Alluvial Plain and Crowley's Ridge. And once those data have been transcribed, we're able to georeference them. So we can take details about where a species was collected and add a point on a map with an error of uncertainty to know exactly where that specimen was collected. And we have a wonderful undergraduate student, Nathan Baggett, who's been working on georeferencing a whole bunch of rare sedges for my research, and then also just working in the Mississippi Alluvial Plain because he grew up here. So having that local focus, he is better than anyone for identifying the exact areas where these plants are found.
And this is what it's all about.
It is. And I will jump onto what Diana was just saying too and say that this is a true opportunity for anybody hearing this to get involved. Notesfromnature.org is this platform, and you can search by plants or herbaria and then find these expeditions that we run. And this would be the idea of needing to transcribe these labels. That we call it legacy data because these were collected when labels were handwritten or typed on a typewriter. So while we have the information, we don't have it readily available in kind of this, you know, a 21st century digital platform. And so we are working toward that with volunteer help, who have, a lot of volunteers have really assisted in getting us moved into a more digital platform. And so we definitely want to make a plug for participation from the broader community as well.
And that's Dr. Travis Marsico and Diana Soteropoulos on the Created State Podcast on KASU. You can subscribe to the Created State Podcast. It's available anywhere you get your podcast, on iTunes or Google Play, or you can listen on the NPR app. And please tell others about the Created State Podcast. Leave us a review, as we'd love to hear from you. And you're listening to A-State Connections on KASU.